Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I have your attention, please? The show starts in 10, 9, 8, 7, 6.
Hello, hello. Welcome to Culture Shock Entertainment Report. I am Beth, a.k.a. Drew. Here's the late night version of Culture Shock Entertainment Report. My apologies for no show yesterday, because we have been each Friday, America unveils the truth, America's truth. Unveiled, and the first show again was super awesome. I almost rescheduled it for today, but we'll schedule it for Friday morning. Because I attempted on Friday night again, was up, and my apologies. Honestly, I fell asleep like close to showtime. But this happy Juneteenth weekend, first day of summer. And Father's Day weekend, so many holidays wrap into Wharton holidays also, especially those of us in the summer, right? Put cross fingers up. But love it. I'm a summer baby, so I love it. But again, many celebrations have been happening with Juneteenth. And I remember, where did you first find out about Juneteenth? I remember hearing about Juneteenth in my teens, in the 80s, as you all know. I love me some Dallas. I love New Orleans. I haven't been to New Orleans in ages, but I love me some Dallas also. And Dallas has been like my, I grew up there part-time, always spending summers and breaks, whatever free time I could get. And, you know, until now, I still, it's my second home. And in the summertime, and you know, and then I would hear talks of Juneteenth, and my older sister Beverly and my late eldest sister, you know, Tommy, when Tommy was married to Tommy, who runs out of Africa Imports and Trade, was really going to be shout out and have a Father's Day to him. You know, they will explain to me what Juneteenth was all about. And one thing about it, ever since I was a little kid, I have always been exposed to Black history, to you know, the history that's not in our history books. I've always read books and studied, but that was something that I really didn't recall seeing or studying in books that I had read from my childhood. So, and as a teen, growing up part time in Dallas, whenever I could get there, I would hear so much about Juneteenth, and then when my sisters and other people would explain to me. And the history regarding Juneteenth, that just amazed me. You know, 2 years before the slaves in Texas found out, heard anything about other slaves being free. So, I mean, it's just amazing now at my age of 51, and I mentioned that to my sister. Like, it's so amazing now. It is a national holiday. It's becoming a federal holiday, it appears. I just seen a story where a lady, 92 years old, just marched 2 hours in Fort Worth, Texas, to make it a holiday. And so it's just amazing to just hear about only the celebrations in the 80s that were in Texas. Now they're national, international now. I know here in Jackson, Mississippi, we began celebrating Juneteenth many, many years ago. I believe Kenny Stowe started. But today there were several events here. And again, I had thought about going to a couple, but I didn't. But I'm so glad to see people are practicing social distancing and thinking about their health too as they attend all these large events, and from personal events to these major humanity events, and also political events. The Trump rally tonight, I mean, I wish more people would have worn their mask and their gloves and even some of the protesters outside and supporters. I noticed some of them had on masks and gloves, but those inside, I didn't see too many masks and gloves, even though they were provided with them. But just because it was not mandatory, you know the CDC guidelines, and you also, I know I don't want to be in a hospital bed, you know, honestly. So it's just important for us to be mindful as we attend personal, professional, and humanity and political, whatever, on the job event. Be mindful of our health and to remember to do our best to slow the spread of coronavirus, COVID-19. I know, I really do. It's an inconvenience. The protocol and the extra work that it entails to put on and take off a mask and put on gloves, it is an inconvenience, but it's all about us slowing the spread. So many states are experiencing spikes, too, and I don't know what the blame, really, but another shutdown doing. I know I don't. And I don't want to be put on another quarantine either from the Department of Health either. I do have a test scheduled for Thursday. I hope I make it to it, but I probably see my doctor before then. But it's real. It's real out there. You know, some people think it's it's fake. It's a hoax. But it's not, you know. And many of us know it, because we followed it since Wuhan, since it began in Wuhan, China. I know Terry and I, we have taken it very seriously. And and sending much love out to Terry. I hope he calls in. He might call in. You know, he always say he's going to call in, but I'm not sure. But many of you, the topics are June 10th. And first day of summer, and of course, it's Father's Day weekend. And as topics, I have featured coronavirus and COVID-19 and June 10th and the Trump-Pence rallies, and also what's going on with Biden, who will he choose as a VP. There's a lot going on in politics right here in the state of Mississippi, where all eyes on Mississippi regarding the state flag. They're trying to get it on the ballot to either vote yay or nay for it in November. I have seen in one of the Facebook groups that I'm a member of, matter of fact, a Facebook group where Terry is from and live in Simpson County, I have heard that the legislation here in the state of Mississippi are trying to work on voting for two replacement flags. We vote for one of the two flags. That way, automatically, it will, you know, that will remove the state flag, the Confederate state flag. So we'll find out on Tuesday how true that is. One thing that the governor of the state of Mississippi has said is that he's not going to make a decision if it should come down or not. And he says that a small group of men, I don't know if any women are part, and women, and men and women, a small group of politicians should not make a decision. One politician stated that legislature represents the consensus of their people, and they should have the right to say if it comes down or not. But I have heard it on Tuesday, like I said, from, and it was a lawmaker, if I'm not mistaken, stated that on Tuesday it might be decided to vote on two alternative flags to replace the Confederate state flag that has really been the state of Mississippi's official flag since 2001. Like I said, I just recently found that out because, you know, we could have taken care of that long ago. And also, Ole Miss football players are speaking up also regarding the flag and that some of the monuments on the campus should be removed also. So there's a lot. On my social media, I've been sharing a lot of stories, information, even I've been sharing some fun stories too. You know, celebrity news, new couples and couples that have broken up and couples that are back together and other stories also. I've been, you know, it's an entertainment lifestyle show, so on my social media, I've been trying to post some things, and YouTube has been updating there, so I have been working on updating YouTube, because as long as I've had a YouTube page, and as a social influencer, I didn't get into that monetizing like many of you are. You can get some of those YouTuber superstars on the show to talk with us about monetization and earning residual income. But again, thank you for tuning in to Culture Shark Entertainment Report. Email me at Culture Shark Entertainment, KULTRESHOKENT_bad@yahoo.com. Let me repeat, KULTRESHOKENT_bad@yahoo.com. Want to thank Mr. Sean Alexander Hamilton of Los Angeles, who have appeared on the show twice within the past few weeks. Wednesday's show was off the chain. If you all missed it, if you missed the first one on May 24th, check it out. Check out part two on Wednesday, on Winning Wednesday. We discussed, you know, we began discussing his three books on Sunday, May 24th. Don't chase your dreams, catch them. On Wednesday's show, we focused more so on, well, we talked about don't chase your dreams, catch them. And we talked much about defeating financial anger. And on this approaching Wednesday, Winning Wednesday, we will focus on understanding and mending broken paths. And remember, you can purchase all three of his books on Amazon, Arthur Sean Alexander Hamilton. So again, we have the Culture Shock Entertainment Report book club. So at least do your best to read one of those books. I need to read Don't Chase Your Dreams, Catch Them. Both of these books, Understanding and Mending Broken Paths and Defeating Financial Anger, are amazing. And authors, you're welcome. I invite you. Please come on. Cousin Linda's even have author a book, a novel. But authors, please come on. And many of you, I would love for those guests that have been on the show before to return. And super excited about a new friend coming on the show also, important topic, and discuss their business endeavors also. So just wanted to, and thank you for those of you that keep in touch throughout social media, on Facebook, on Twitter, on YouTube, LinkedIn friends, big shout out to you guys. Thank you. Instagram, thank you so much. And I have scheduled a the room that they have on Facebook room. I have scheduled a public lunch. What is it? It's called the lunchtime lunch group for the rooms, because I do not yet understand how the rooms work. And I have received a couple of invites, like one from my nephew and from a couple other listeners and friends. But I have scheduled a group, a rooms event on Facebook. So it's open to the public. So I did send out invites also those of you that would like to join live 3rd That's 4th of July weekend on Friday at 1:30 p.m. Central Standard Time. So let's, you know, have an enjoyable lunchtime talk, those in America and those of you around the world. It might be midnight talk. It might be early the next morning talk or early that morning talk, but it will be 1:30 Central Standard Time where I am in the deep south of America. So I have that scheduled on Facebook. So definitely join in, come in, and let's have a fun room experience on Facebook. So definitely want to see how this works. I've heard Facebook and other experts compare it to Zoom feeling. One thing that I loved when I first, well, soon after I became savvy on social media, like in the late 2000s or 2006, Spreecast. And Zoom reminds me of Spreecast. And so I guess Rooms kind of reminds me, will remind me of Spreecast also. But again, those of you that send email, culturesHockeyEntertainment_Beth@yahoo.com. Those of you sending awesome music and would like to be a guest and discuss your band and all with the projects that you're working on. Remember, Julian Stefani will be a guest again. And a guest soon, I mean. I reshared his video last night, We Are One, where I make a cameo appearance along with many of his friends also. So if you have not checked out We Are One, please do and network with him. He has a show coming up. He's ready to get back on tour. And he will be a guest, I know, on the show in the very near future also. So hopefully I'll talk with him tomorrow. We've been missing out talking, but we keep in touch and keep me updated with the progression of his project. He said he has some fun things and surprises for when he is guest on the Julian's Ride, J-Ride, Julian Stefani on Facebook, Raw Jewels. But We Are One is an amazing song, beautiful song, and an amazing video. And I am so grateful to have been invited to be a part of it also, showing my number one singer, because we are one. We all are family. We all are family, and it's important for us to spread love, not hate. Love defeats hate, right? So I still have a question of you on cue, so we'll play it. And thank you for those that have sent me music and they're okay, and those that are also not only sending music but are looking for being gifts in return gifts. I hope you all like my new intro too. Austin Countdown. Upload Countdown. What? thinking of you. I feel it. I feel that song. What song don't I not feel? I print. I feel all of his songs. From mentalfloss.com, 12 things you might not know about June 10th. And this is an updated article from June 19, 2018, by Stacey Conrad. There's more than one Independence Day in the U.S. on June 19, 1865. General Gordon Granger rode into Galveston, Texas, and announced enslaved people were now free. Since then, June 19 has been celebrated as June 10th. Across the nation. Here's what you should know about the historic event and celebration. Number one, enslaved people had already been emancipated. Texas just didn't know. The June 19th announcement came more than 2.5 years after Abraham Lincoln issued the Emancipation Proclamation on January 1, 1863. So, technically, from the Union's perspective, the 250,000 enslaved people in Texas were already free, but none of them were aware of it, and no one was in a rush to inform them. Number two, there are many theories as to why the Emancipation Proclamation wasn't enforced in Texas. There's a picture of Confederate General Robert E. Lee surrendering to Union General Ulysses S. Grant at the close of the American Civil War at the Appomattox Courthouse in Virginia on April 9, 1865. News traveled slowly back in those days. It took Confederate soldiers in Western Texas more than 2 months to hear that Robert E. Lee had surrendered at Appomattox. Still, some have struggled to explain the 30-month gap between Lincoln's proclamation and the enslaved people's freedom, leading to speculation that some Texans suppressed the announcement. Other theories include that the original messenger was murdered to prevent the information from being relayed, or that the federal government purposely delayed the announcement to Texas to get more cotton harvest out of the enslaved workers. But the real reason is probably that Lincoln's proclamation simply wasn't enforceable in the rebel states before the end of the war. Three, the announcement actually urged free men and freed women to stay with their former owners. General Order No. 3, as read by General Granger, said, "The people of Texas are informed that in accordance with a proclamation from the executive of the United States, all slaves are free. This involves an absolute equality of personal rights and rights of property between former masters and slaves, and the connection heretofore existing between them becomes that between employer and hired labor. The freed men are advised to remain quietly at their present homes and work for wages. They are informed that they will not be allowed to collect at military posts and that they will not be supported in idleness either there or elsewhere." Okay. So those are three facts that I've shared. Then, number four, what followed was known as the scatter. Most free people weren't terribly interested in staying with the people who had enslaved them, even if pay was involved. In fact, some were leaving before Granger had finished making the announcement. What followed became known as the scatter when droves of former enslaved people left the state to find family members or more welcoming accommodations in northern regions. Number five, not all enslaved people were freed instantly. Texas is a large state, and General Granger's order and the troops needed to enforce it were slow to spread. According to historian James Smallwood, many enslavers deliberately suppressed information to after the harvest, and some beyond that In July 1867, there were two separate reports of enslaved people being freed. In one report of a Texas horse thief named Alice Simpson, whose enslaved people were only freed after his hanging in 1868. And then there's number six. Freedom created other problems. Despite the announcement, Texas slave owners weren't too eager to part with what they felt was their property. When free people tried to leave, many of them were beaten, lynched, or murdered. They would catch free slaves swimming across the Sabine River and shoot them, a former enslaved person named Susan Merritt recalled. Then there's number seven. There were limited options for celebrating. And then there's a picture of a monument in Houston's Emancipation Park also in this article. When free people tried to celebrate the first anniversary of the announcement a year later, they were faced with a problem. Segregation laws were expanding rapidly, and there were no public places or parks that were permitted to use. So in the 1870s, former enslaved people pooled together $800 and purchased 10 acres of land, which they deemed Emancipation Park. It was the only public park and swimming pool in the Houston area that was open to African Americans in the 1950s. That's awesome. And then number eight, June 10th celebrations waned for several decades. It wasn't because people no longer wanted to celebrate freedom, but as Slate so eloquently put, it's difficult to celebrate freedom. Your life is defined by oppression on all sides. June 10th celebrations waned during the era of Jim Crow laws until the civil rights movement of the 1960s. When the Poor People's March planned by Martin Luther King Jr. was purposely scheduled to coincide with the date, the march brought Juneteenth back to the forefront. And when march participants took to the celebration back to their home state, the holiday was reborn. I'm just making sure you all can hear me. Working on upgrade. Number nine, Texas was the first state to declare Juneteenth as a state holiday. Texas deemed the holiday worthy of statewide recognition in 1980. I told y'all in my teens and tweens, I was educated on Juneteenth. Texas deemed the holiday worthy of statewide recognition in 1980, becoming the first state to do so. And number 10, Juneteenth is still not a federal holiday, but that's what they're working on right now. Though most states now officially recognize Juneteenth, it's still not a national holiday. But it seemed like, we're going to keep watching this. It's still not a national holiday. As a senator, Barack Obama co-sponsored legislation to make Juneteenth a national holiday. It's very close to being one. We all see that, know that, don't we? Though it didn't pass then or while he was president, one supporter of the idea is a 93-year-old Oprah Lee in 2016 when she was 90. Lee began walking from state to state to draw attention to the cause. And number 11, the Juneteenth flag is full of symbolism. Juneteenth flag designer L.J. Graff packed lots of meaning into her design. The colors red, white, and blue echo the American flag to symbolize that the enslaved people and their descendants were Americans. The star in the middle pays homage to Texas, while the bursting new star on the horizon of the red-blue fields represents a new freedom and a new people. And then there's number 12. Juneteenth traditions vary across the country. As the tradition of Juneteenth spread across the U.S., different localities put different spins on celebrations. In southern states, the holidays traditionally celebrate oral histories and reading, red soda water or strawberry soda and barbecues. Some states serve up Marcus Garvey salad with red, green, and black beans in honor of the black nationalists. Rodeos have become part of the tradition in the Southwest, while contests, concerts, and parades are a common theme across the country. So that is awesome. I'm sharing it on my social media also. Because even here, usually there's a Juneteenth festival on Ferry Street, but today there was a march. And also the early part of the day, which I had thought about, seriously thinking about attending this panel panel discussion that was moderated by Judge Carlos Moore. And matter of fact, when I seen the George Floyd, I was one of the first people to see the George Floyd video. And I immediately reshared and tagged to Carlos Moore and policing expert Juan Cloy. And Ben Crump, the family's attorney, is based in Jackson, Mississippi, and usually represents many other families. Trevon's family he represented, and many others that that have been, you know, in situations of dying by the hands of law enforcement. But that those are some facts regarding June 10th, and that's at mentalflaws.com regarding, again, June 10th. And today is the kickoff, or Saturday was the kickoff of the first day of summer also. So summer is here. It's Father's Day weekend. We will have a show on tomorrow also. So, facts to know about the first day of summer, so which it's almost ending here in the Deep South, and ended in some other places. But the longest day of the year, also known as the summer solstice in Northern Hemisphere, was at 5:43 p.m., marking the first official day of summer, when the sun reaches its northernmost point in the sky. The shortest day of the year, known as the winter solstice, occurs between December 20th and 2nd. Here are some facts to know about the first day of summer. What does solstice mean? The word is from the Latin solstitium. Did I say that right? From sol, sun, and stitium, to stop, meaning the sun stands. It literally means furthest or culminating point, a turning point. Why does the solstice occur? It occurs twice annually due to the Earth's axis of rotation. It is known as the summer and winter solstice. The scientific reason behind summer solstice is that it occurs precisely when the Earth's axis tilts its most inclined toward the sun at the degree of 23 to 26. It's most extreme. It doesn't always mean every location will see the earliest sunrise or the latest sunset on that day. When the summer solstice ends, the summer solstice, which falls between spring and autumn, starts June 20th. And lasts until June 23rd. On this day, the sun does not go down in the Arctic Circle. It will mostly stay light from June 19th to June 21st. Summer solstice quotes for sun lovers: be like the flower, turn your face to the sun. Cahill Gabbard. And so with this, number two, and so with the sunshine and the great burst of leaves growing on the trees, just as things grow in Fast movies, I had the familiar conviction that life was beginning over again with the summer. F. Scott Fitzgerald. Number three, summer is the annual permission slip to be lazy, to do nothing and have it count for something, to lie in the grass and count the stars, to sit on a branch and study the clouds. Regina Brett. The days were longer then, for time like money is measured by need. When summer afternoons were spacious and the clock ticked slowly in the winter evening, George Eliot, Middlemarch. It was June and the world smelt of roses. The sunshine was like powdered gold over the grassy hillside. Ma Hart, Love, Lace, Pixie, Stacy, and Tipped. And there's much more. There's a few more I need to add. And had a little background noise. It was June, the world smelled like roses. The sunshine was like powdered gold over the gray side. More Art Lovelace, Dixie Texan Tim. The days throughout the weather gets warmer, and it's what we call summer with a bitter laugh when we said it. Stan Barstow, A Kind of Loving. Summer, what power you have to make us suffer and like it. Russell Baker. And eight, a single sunbeam is is enough to drive away many shadows. St. Francis of Assisi. And 9, I'm summer, come to lure you away from your computer. Come dance on my fresh grass, dig your toes into my beaches, Oriana Green. And then lastly, William Shakespeare, Shakespeare's sonnets. Summer's leaves have all too short a date. So happy, happy, happy summer. Happy June 10th weekend. Happy, happy Father's Day also. So I am going to go back to the screen in case someone have called in. Keeping the show kind of lighthearted for a late night on a Saturday night. And I'm definitely looking forward to those awesome music shows that we have once had on late Saturday nights also. So I'm working on getting my screen back up to see the studio. So let's see, I'll be right. I'm just trying to get it up, but I don't want to be silent. So we have some amazing shows coming up in the near future. I'm working on the schedule. Oh, Beyonce has an awesome new song, right? Can you all hear it? I think maybe it's not her song, but she has an amazing song, Black Parade, that she surprised many. When I seen the news of it overnight, I was like, what? But Black Parade, if you guys have not heard it yet, pretty good. Well, you know, Beyonce, she and her husband are just amazing. I've always loved them separately and as a couple. Super amazing. I posted an amazing article also about how Beyonce was not interested in dating Jay-Z at first. Her mother was the one that told her, give him a chance. I always do a tattoo. My mom always envisioned where Terry and I would become a couple. We've been friends a long time. My mother's just saying something wrong. It's been something. So thank you all for your prayers too, because I'm such a hopeful romantic. But you know, dealing with relationships, you all, many of you that are successful and have stuck through things, you know, you stick with it. Let's see. And he's listening. So Monday will be our amazing Monday show. Make Money Monday, Motivate Monday. And on Wednesday, Sean will return, like I said, and we will conclude our three-part talk. And on Wednesday, the Understanding and Mending Broken Hearts all will be the focus. But it's amazing to see the rally on the inside in Tulsa, and then look at the protesters and the supporters come together in unity and really, you know, like to communicate. So it's awesome that nothing, that it was peaceful. I seen an article where a peaceful protester was arrested or something. So I need to see that full story. I shared that on my page. But the event that's going on around the world, around America, it's just been amazing. Okay, I'm back in the studio. We're almost there. And again, shout out to the top five countries that are awesome. Oh, someone's calling in. Thank you. My apologies if you've been holding for a minute. I had left the screen to share the June 10th. I want to share some facts or just talk about what's going on, how you feel, or talk about Father's Day or beginning of summer, just whatever's on your heart this late night or early morning, wherever you're calling from. Hello, welcome to Cut the Shock Entertainment Reports. I am Beth, AKA Be True. Welcome to the show.
Yes, ma'am. How you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm really doing great to hear your voice. What's going on?
Awesome, awesome. That's good. Love your energy.
Thank you. I can feel your energy, so thank you for what I just said. I really meant it. Like, good to hear your voice, because I can feel your energy.
I know that's right.
That's right.
Yeah, I was just I wanted to call in, you know, and also to say this right here too, is that one thing that we do forget a lot, and when it comes to slavery and Juneteenth, you know what I'm saying, and the independence and freedom, our brothers and sisters and our ancestors, is that one thing that we don't talk about is, you know how we always hear history lessons about the Union and the Confederate, you know, having this dispute and going to war, you know what I'm saying, for taxes and also for the South, the Confederate, to keep the slaves that they had.
Yeah.
Well, we don't hear much about the Native people of America. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Yeah.
Like if you was to ever tell me right, well, you know, my grandmother, she was Cherokee Indian, right?
And that's my bloodline. Sound like it might be your bloodline too. You're right. Why don't we include them more? But let me hear you out.
Because I know why we don't include them more. Because my granddaddy had something to do with it. And
talk to us.
Yes, and I know exactly why. See, especially in Georgia, it was the stronghold for the Muscogee Creek Indians. And
yes,
a lot of people in my family don't like to talk about it. But my great great grandfather, his name was George W. True. Well, actually, George McIntosh.
Oh.
True.
Do you mind providing your name? You're calling from Georgia?
I'm calling from Texas right now.
Oh, yay! You know I love me some. You know I love Texas.
Yes,
wow.
Ma'am.
And what's your name?
And my name is Dr. Muhammad.
Oh, okay. Nice to talk to you. Oh, okay.
Yes,
you have the floor. Okay, I just wanted to get that in. Okay.
Yes, ma'am. And my great great grandfather, his name was George McIntosh True. And he married my great 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 grandmother, whose name was Anna True. She was the Muscogee. Mm-hmm. Actually, she was the princess of the Muscogee Creek tribe. Her father was the chief of the Muscogee Creek tribe. And
right.
And what happened was my great-great-grandfather, George True, he come from Scotland. He's a Scotland descendant. When they first came, they didn't come with a great invasion or anything like that. They came to – a lot of them came to make peace with those who, you know what I'm saying, owned the land. But what happened was after the first wave came – there was another wave that did come that, you know what I'm saying, was like, okay, we can get over them. Let's get over them. We can get over them somehow. They don't know our language. So let's get over them.
Yes.
So they made business bad for the first round of group of people that came here. What ended up happening was William McIntosh, he was that second wave of people that I'm talking about, which was my great-great-grandfather's cousin. When William McIntosh came the United States government was already, you know what I'm saying, at odds with each other within the 13 colonies or whatever. What happened was William McIntosh, somehow he became the chief of the Muscogee Creek Indians. And with this being said, right, he told you,
right.
He said, because you guys, you know what I'm saying, been fighting against, you know what I'm saying, United States or whatever, you know, we're going to make a treaty. That way we can all get along, you know, and it's supposed to be a friendship treaty. But what ended up happening was William McIntosh drew up this whole treaty, right? Supposed to be a treaty, but it actually wasn't a treaty. It was a land grab deal where he had Muscogee Creek Indians. Yeah, he had the Muscogee Creek Indians to sign this deal because he was the chief. He presented it as if it was a, you know what I'm saying, a treaty between the United States and the Muscogee Creek Indians and the Lower Creek Indians in Georgia. Well, actually, it wasn't a treaty at all. What it was a document that they put their signature on, which caused the Muscogee Creek Indians in Georgia to give up all the land in Georgia. All, I mean, because
so instead of being a treaty, it was a sign over.
Yes, yes. Yes, because see, we fought for many years. We fought for many years. We fought so hard for many years. You know what I'm saying? To retain our land and to keep our land. And those who come upon our land, they knew that in order to survive on our land, you would have to make peace. You see what I'm saying? You would have to make peace.
Yes.
So anyone that would come on our land that was not trying to make peace, we would definitely go to war with, and they would lose every time. Every single time they would lose. So. Yes, they would lose. And William McIntosh came up with this little brilliant idea in his head, and he said, okay, we can't beat them, so let's trick them. And once they signed the document,
undermine oh my God.
Yes. And what would happen is they would have to, once they sign it, then they have no other obligation but to leave off the land. And so we didn't just lose Georgia, sweetheart. We lost Georgia, South Carolina, and Alabama. We lost that whole thing because we was called the Muscogee Creek Confederation. All the Indians, you know what I'm saying, within Georgia, South Carolina, Alabama, and parts of Florida, we had to come together as a confederation to fight this new wave of people that came upon our land.
Because they had control of all that territory, like the Choctaw Indians here, and the ones Oklahoma all could, you know, connect.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah. And so once.
Wow,
once
that is
once,
deep.
That was my great great grandfather's cousin, but he didn't have anything to do with it because he himself was trying to fight against the United States government himself. He was the first governor in the United States that tried to, you know what I'm saying, make war with the United States. You know what I'm saying? But William McIntosh, you know what I'm saying, he was something else. You know what I'm saying? I mean, he's in my bloodline as well, but he was something else. And so what ended up happening was you ever read in school where the Indians had to take that Trail of Tears?
Yes.
The Trail of Tears? That's where they took it from.
Yes.
Georgia all the way up Ohio, all the way up to the Trail of Tears, all the way up there. We had to leave. You see what I'm saying? And so I'm going to show you something now, how things work. I'm going to show you how this works, and I'm going to show you how a people in this country, and I'm going to show you a great secret of America.
Yes.
The people that chose to stay behind, the people that chose to stay, you see what I'm saying? The people that chose to stay.
Yes.
So after the deal was signed and the Muscogee Creek Indians found out that they was tricked or whatever, they immediately.
I know they were pissed. I know they were pissed. Oh my God. Because obviously
they were
smart too. They were very intelligent too. Oh my God.
Yeah, they actually were. So they were so pissed that they actually they was told that they had to leave the land and was forced off the land. I mean, you're talking about. See, nobody don't want to talk about this, but man, you're talking about. Once that land was given over to the United States, once that land was given over to the United States, man, the United States, man, sent a great army into Georgia, man, to move the people off the land. Nobody talk about that in history.
Wow.
But yet they want to teach me this in history. They want to teach me this in school. While I was in school, like, I didn't know that my history was that deep. I didn't know that my ties was that deep. I didn't
know
that the people
kinfolk.
That they were talking about.
And in your bloodline, your kinfolk, your kinfolk, because I'm a history buff, and when you said those names, I'm like, those names sound familiar. So, they should have been.
That's
Native Americans and Blacks, African Americans. I mean, we've been talking about that. That's a coming up topic of the show, too, in the near future. How do we identify Blacks, African Americans?
Yeah, the next topic of your show needs to be that if any family in America, especially those who are called Black, if you have, you know what I'm saying, any information like this, I mean, this information
right.
can change the history of times. You know what I'm saying? Like people don't know this.
Yes.
Like, you see what I'm saying? And I'm apt to write this in the book. I'm very definitely apt to write this in the book because it's so true. You see what I'm saying? Like, but like I say again, my family is ashamed to talk about it. Why? Because my great-great-grandfather was George W. True, who was one of the biggest slave owners in the state of Georgia.
Wow.
So that's why it wasn't talked about. So that's why it wasn't taught to me. And that's why in school I'm letting them teach me about this history, and then only to come to find out later on, this is about me. This is about me and my family.
Wow.
You see what I'm saying? Like, that's amazing. I mean,
right.
And me and my brother, we always say, you know what I'm saying, we blessed that we always, you know what I'm saying, have an unbiased, you know what I'm saying, opinion about anything, you know what I'm saying. But, yes, man,
mm-hmm.
like, my family really was ashamed about it. I'm not going to sit here and say that my family wasn't ashamed about it. I could write them on Facebook today and tonight and say the same thing, and they'll tell you that we were. You see what I'm saying? My grandmother
mm-hmm.
was so ashamed. My grandmother was so ashamed that her daddy name was Bradford True. Her daddy name was Bradford True, which is the son of George McIntosh True. His name was Bradford True. And her daddy gave her all that land in Troup County, gave her all that land in Dublin, Lawrence County, Georgia. And guess what? Because of her past, she didn't even want none of that land.
No, she refused it.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes, I'm talking about you. We're talking about thousands and thousands of acres. We ain't talking about hundreds of acres. We're talking about thousands and thousands of acres.
I hear
of
you.
Land. And she didn't want it. She didn't want it. You know what I'm saying? But that was on her. And then, you know what I'm saying, my family, you know what I'm saying, they want to, like, move on. You know what I'm saying? Like, they want to brush on and move on. You know what I'm saying? But you can't move on. You know what I'm saying? When this is your history. So one day I went to the library in Dublin, Georgia. I went to the library in Dublin, Georgia, and I went into the history room, and a white lady just came in there while I was in the history room, and she said, sir, can I help you? What are you looking for? I said, well, I'm looking for any information on my grandfather, George McIntosh True. I'm looking for any information that you might have on him. And I showed her pictures of my grandfather. I showed her pictures of my grandmother. And she said, oh, you know what? I just want to tell you something. I've been doing research on your grandfather for so long. I've been doing research, and I don't know why you came in today, but she said, I just got through finishing up on some research. And she said, it took me some years, like 3 to 4 years, you know what I'm saying, to compile all this information on your grandfather. And she said, anytime you need to come into the library, we would shut the library off, the history department off for you, so that you and your family can come in and pay our respects to your grandfather. And you see what I'm saying? Like,
that is amazing.
Yes, that's what I'm talking about. Like, but why do my family have to be ashamed of their past? You know what I'm saying? Like they don't want to be known as a people, as a black people whose great grandfather was the biggest plantation owner in Georgia. You see what I'm saying? And
right.
they don't want to be known as the people who caused the Muscogee Creek Indians to have to take the Trail of Tears. So what we try to do is we wipe it out and we don't even talk about it at all. But I'm like, this is history.
Exactly. That's how my family, my mom, one of my uncles, an aunt who is like 92, they love talking about our roots and our bloodline, Native American, Indian, Caucasian, and of course, black. And you're right. I'm like you. It's all like history, but many other family members, they're like, I'd rather just focus on the black part. You know, it was not, but our history is our history.
No.
We can't deny.
It's like a shame. Yeah, it's like you can see that dark cloud over us, over my family. You can see that dark cloud over my family. We don't even go to none of the family reunions.
Right.
Like the troops have a big family reunion. We don't even go to the troops family reunion. And our great-great-grandfather is George McIntosh's troop. because there's a great cloud that's hanging over us. But when we die, though, guess what, though? They come to our funeral, though. You see how that is?
Exactly.
We don't go
Thank
to the family
you.
Reunion, but they come to our funeral.
Thank you. Listeners, I know worldwide listeners, because everyone listening around the world, you can relate. You know, we all have history. Yes. Wow. And when you said your family was one of the reasons why we don't discuss it, wow.
Yes, absolutely. See, we have a hidden people in America that's not even talked about. Everybody in America ain't African slaves, but yet, though, that's what they want us to believe. We're actually descendants of the said here land that has been captured by invaders.
And there were Africans, there were black slave owners. And
that's
something that I meant.
That's right.
Yeah, and those of you that are listening that have this ancestors who were black slave owners, call us too and talk about that. Because I know there are some that will share that too. Wow.
And the reason why I'm saying that is because, see, after all that happened, right, after the treaty and everything, the false treaty was signed and everything, the people that stayed behind, the dark-skinned people, you know what I'm saying, which got melanin in their skin, that stayed behind, right? Guess what they did? Guess what they did?
Documented
in Georgia history, it says that for all of us that stayed behind, for all of my ancestors that stayed behind, did not take the Trail of Tears, that stayed in Lawrence County, Dublin, Macon, Atlanta, Georgia, South Carolina, or Alabama. It was a law that came into effect and came into order that said that we should no longer be called Muscogee Creek Indians. We should now, from this day forth, hence be called Black, African, or Negro.
Wow.
And today, we sang that African black song and don't even know who we really are.
And that's who we really are. Wow.
That's who we really are. Yeah. That's who we really are. See, America has a secret. That's one of the greatest things.
America has a way of erasing.
America has a way of erasing too. That's right,
and I was able,
and I thank God that I was able to bring that before the house. And when I brought that before the house, they opened up their records, they opened up their books, they opened up the Library of Congress, and guess what? Everything that I was saying was absolutely true. Everything that I was saying was absolutely true. You see what I'm saying? So now, any one of us who come to discover our true selves and come to discover our true origin, we should be known as such and no longer be called by the names that have been given to us. That's law.
Wow.
Yep.
That is law. Deep.
So that's why now, if you look at now, and we was able to do something, we was able to change even the whole application agenda. You remember on the application that used to just ask you, were you black or you white, Hispanic or Latino or something like that?
Well, you know what? That's been on my mind a lot this week. Today and yesterday, I've been thinking a lot about that, about the application.
Now we got another box called Two or More Races.
Yes.
We did that. That's our box.
And I'm wondering. I'm wondering why doesn't it just say like multiracial, and then you write down if you like want to put down, you know. But two or more.
Yeah, because see, if your grandmother is Cherokee, that means that your mother is Cherokee. That means that she might have
married
a man from African descent. So now you two or more races.
Right.
You're not only African, but you are Cherokee and African. So you put down in that box two or more. Yeah.
So they should have like multiracial, two or more, like two or more. I noticed that too. I'm like, oh my.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Wow.
Absolutely.
America, we got power. And that's why when people say, well, you have Indian features, like we all notice, like, my family has Indian. Well, it's a reason behind it because your family's origin is Indian, right? Wow.
And yes.
And Native American, I know when I was in Texas a few years ago, I worked with the Choctaw Indians of Oklahoma, and Native Americans and our relationships are good, and we can get better. We need to come together more so. And another thing, I know here in the state of Mississippi, when it comes to COVID-19, guess what group are at higher risk than Blacks, African Americans.
That's right.
Native Americans.
That's right.
Native Americans. But do you hear it on national news? You don't hear it being talked about regarding Native Americans throughout the country.
Not at all.
I mean, we hear about Hispanics and other races, but not the original people.
That's right. That's right. That's right.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. And see, some of the documents that my grandfather left my grandmother, I mean, man, like, I would definitely love to network with you and share you a whole lot of this information, and you can actually see it for yourself. Like, I mean, even go to my Facebook page, man, and, you know what I'm saying, just check everything out, and you'll see yourself that. I support, you know what I'm saying?
Because I'm wondering if we're Facebook friends already. But definitely let me and the listeners know, what is your Facebook handle?
My Facebook handle is Alamine Stumbling the Christ, KRST, THEKRST, Alamine Stumbling Christ. Yeah, and but if you can see, I mean, I represent that seal, you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't carry the seal of the United States of America. I carry the Muscogee Creek seal,
right.
You know what I'm saying? Because that's the seal, you know what I'm saying, of my, you know what I'm saying, ancestors. And the great part about it is, is that the whole planet have migrated from Africa. We cannot unmistakably doubt that, you know what I'm saying? Like, Africa is, you know what I'm saying, the hotbed from which and where all, you know what I'm saying, races and cultures of people migrated from. So we cannot deny that.
Right.
And the great continent of Pangaea, before it split apart, you know what I'm saying, had its basis and roots in Africa. So we can't
deny
that.
There's been a debate on my Facebook page. There's been a debate on my Facebook page. Among Blacks, African Americans, what do we identify ourselves as? And some say only Black American, strictly American. Some say African American. It's a debate. Well, like, if you weren't born in Africa, then you're not considered African American. And I explained to one of my Facebook friends, because of my heritage, I'm American first, yes, but I am a multiracial African American. You know.
But
you definitely be a part of that show too.
I would definitely love to be. And let me say this right here, that would definitely blow your mind.
You're breaking it down to our roots and how we came over here and how we identified. They weren't born in Africa. It's still it might not be all of our roots, but many. But at the same time, We have the Native American roots, some of us, and we have Caucasian roots also, heritage from Europe.
That's right. You see what I'm saying? Like, that's right. I mean, because think about it. If you was once lived in Texas, right, and you stayed in Texas for a little while.
Texas is my second home. Yeah, it's my second home. That's what I was talking about. I remember when it was just June 10th, was just celebrated in Texas. And that is all over the world.
What's your first home? What state?
Oh, native Mississippi. I'm in Mississippi now, and Mississippi is my native state.
Okay, you're in Mississippi. You stayed in Texas. Where else did you stay?
Yeah, and I grew up part time in Texas. In Texas, yeah.
And where else did you stay in America? What other state?
Well, I have other favorites. Like, New Orleans was like one of my first places to travel as a baby. but
pretty much. Where have you stayed at?
Only in Mississippi and Texas, where I have residence.
Okay.
And I travel,
okay.
Indiana and stuff.
So are you going to say that you are a Texas, Mississippi?
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
You probably, is that
you
know,
what I'm
right? You can probably hear the accent.
You're African American,
right.
Texas, Mississippian. How you going to say all that?
You
know what I'm saying? So
right.
don't use these.
Right.
We wouldn't, one thing that I don't do, I don't use a landmass to describe who I am,
right.
Even as a person. Because I would say this right here to anybody.
I identify
yeah,
as American,
right,
but then with,
mm-hmm.
as a debate, as in, because there's always